As verified cases of the coronavirus spread across the Middle East and Europe, officials here in the U.S. are not only figuring out how to address the virus, but how to address the public. The Trump administration's outlook has been relatively rosy, and you can decide whether you believe them or not. Larry Kudlow, the director of the National Economic Council.
We have contained this. We have contained this. I won't say airtight, but pretty close to airtight.
Secretary of Health and Human Services Alex Azar, meanwhile, seemed to be saying the opposite. He said Tuesday, this is an unprecedented, potentially severe health challenge globally. And a top official at the CDC said this could be bad. These mixed messages could cause even more confusion about how widespread and just how dangerous this virus is. For more on this, I'm joined by James Hamblin, staff writer at The Atlantic and lecturer at Yale School of Public Health. Welcome back to The Takeaway, James.
Thank you for having me.
James, you argue that part of the problem with this is that the fatality rate is actually quite low. That seems a little counterintuitive.
Right. And we don't know exactly what it is yet, but in any outbreak, you first will notice the severe cases, the deaths, the people who've had to be in intensive care units, and then that's who is first identified, who is first tested. Later, you'll start to see cases that are less severe. And so that rate at which it seems that people are dying or developing severe disease falls. We don't know exactly what it is yet, but it is in an area that seems closer to a severe flu outbreak than some of the extremely fatal, the previous novel coronaviruses or some of the most fatal flus, which can kill sometimes 50 or 60% of people. This is much, much lower, which actually makes it more likely to spread if there are people with mild cases walking around or still going to work. Or
we don't know who's carrying it.
Right. We don't know that exactly, but we know that not everyone becomes extremely ill and that people have symptoms that are much like a common cold before they develop severe disease that would cause them to seek treatment.
So in your article in The Atlantic, you quote an expert who says that within the coming year, some 40 to 70% of people around the world will be infected with the virus. Explain to us what the implications of this are.
The real important thing about a projection like that is that he is not saying that 40 to 70% of people would be sick. And even that is a week ago. I don't know where he stands exactly right now.
And his name again?
Mark Lipsitch at Harvard. But the projection is simply meant to make the point, I think, that based on the rate at which this is spreading and China's extreme containment measures which were taken and which did not keep the virus in the country, the fact that it's affected so many people most likely means that there are cases that are mild or asymptomatic, and we don't have the capacity to test for those right now in the U.S., so we don't know exactly how widespread it truly is or how severe it will end up being on average.
So if a CDC official is saying that we need to start considering social separation, I think is the phrase, how does that strike you? How, I guess, viable is that and how useful is that?
Yeah, social distancing is a key tool of any public health response. There are drawbacks to everything, but as things get politicized, there are pressures to take really dramatic measures like shutting down schools for months, as is happening in Hong Kong, or shutting down all public transport and airports. And we just don't know exactly how effective measures like that will be against a virus like this versus social distancing, like staying home from work when you are sick, which we should be doing all the time. But employers can help people feel that that is acceptable and actually good practice at a time like this.
So right now, if employers are starting to take in the warnings from the CDC, should they be at this moment developing those kinds of protocols, or potential protocols?
I would defer to what the CDC is advising, but I think this is a perfect time for companies to start thinking about sick leave policies and about informing people and making employees feel that they should be staying home when they're ill and that they're not going to be punished for it, and that the workforce has the capacity for people to do that, because it looks right now like hand washing, not going out when you're sick, covering your cough, keeping yourself not in crowded public places when you're sick those are just timeless, important things, and they're just especially important right now. We're reminded of their importance right
now. What would you like to see local and, I guess, national governments be doing right now?
Right now, we need evidence. We need studies. We need to know exactly what the typical course of this disease is, who is most vulnerable, how we prevent most vulnerable populations from being affected. We need to have advice on when people need to seek care and treatment and testing, when they don't. We can't have everyone who has a sneeze or a cough going to a hospital. That's not recommended, but we need to have clear studies so we know exactly how to allocate resources and advise people. And right now, there are still a lot of open questions. So there's not need for panic. There is need for solid evidence and listening to the people who are most expert in studying outbreaks.
James Hamblin is a staff writer at The Atlantic and lecturer at Yale School of Public Health. Thanks so much for being with us, James.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.